In this four-week series, we'll discover the essentials, or really the elements of forgiveness. That's what we're going to look at. This is the essentials of forgiveness. That's the title of the series. So it's a four-week series. And we'll be looking at different aspects of this forgiveness. For sure, today we'll be looking at the power of forgiveness. We'll also look at the promise of forgiveness, protection of forgiveness, and finally we'll end up with the practice of forgiveness. Just some real practical foundational things that we as Christians need to know. It needs to be just imprinted on our lives. It needs to be part of us. And I trust God will help us with that so that you might live the... thank you, Alyssa. So that you might be more equipped to really experience or walk in the full and free Christian life. So I would challenge you, would that be you? Are you walking in the full and free Christian life? Are you? You feel like you are. I think there's different things that we need to learn along the way that really help us to understand God's love and forgiveness and have strong convictions. So I'm just so thankful. I have strong convictions. It's not questions. So it's part of who I am. It's part of my identity when I understand different things from God's truth. So today we're going to start with the power of forgiveness, and I'm really thankful for that. I can just think of one little example when I was younger, and I think I've shared this example before, but I think it's just so profound. It's good for my life. When I was wooing and dating my beautiful wife, her mother had passed away. I guess it was after we were married. Her mother had passed away. And I loved her mother, and she was near and dear to my heart. And some things had happened in my wife's life that were really difficult. And some of it was because of her father. So her father had done some things that, as a young man, I wasn't a Christian yet, and they irritated me so much that I wouldn't even talk to him. I wouldn't even talk to him. I was angry. And whenever his name was brought up or something, I would probably say something that wasn't so nice. And that went on for a while. And actually, at the funeral of my wife's dear mother's funeral, I can remember my wife's mother were separated. So he came to the funeral, and they had been separated for quite a while. And when he showed up, I was kind of ticked off, and because of his lifestyle and whatnot, he could hardly walk, so he was kind of in rough shape. So when I saw him pull up, he needed help. He was physically kind of, his legs were giving out, and he just physically couldn't help. And my first thought was, well, too bad, man. You're on your own. Maybe somebody else will help him, because I'm sure not going to. But even before I became a believer, there just something came over me, you know. I know Jeannie's mother was a believer, and she would forgive him. She had forgiven him so many times before, and in this particular situation, she would forgive him again. And it kind of came over to me, you know what? That would be the right thing for me to do. So I went over there, and I took his arm, and I was just kind and gentle with him, and I just took care of him during the funeral. And a sense of, relief of that I was doing the right thing, walking in forgiveness, came over me, and it was just a blessing leading me, directing me. So this teaching, this whole series, I would just encourage you to pay attention. You know, in on our website, we have some real jewels of teaching. So just some real jewels. We've been blessed by lots of good teachers at this church and in our movement of churches. So I would encourage you to go get some of those jewels and listen to them or watch them yourself. Really good stuff. And this is one of them for sure. You know, I don't have this quote on the screen, but Mark Twain once said, "Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it." Let me read that once again. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. You see, the problem is most Christians don't even understand the basic of what God's forgiveness really means, let alone how to apply forgiveness to others or to themselves. I see it all the time. As a pastor, I see it all the time where people are either unable or unwilling to go and forgive someone, or they won't receive forgiveness. It's just this wedge that drives in between relationships, and it's really sad. But tell you what, I'm going to pray one more time. Let's ask for God's help. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I pray against distractions. I can tell, Lord, that you have something to say here, because there's been some distractions this morning ever since I got up. And Lord, I'm encouraged by that. I'm excited for what you have for us, God. I'm excited for what you have for me. So I pray this morning you just have your way with us, Lord. You lead us, direct us. You are God. Lord, you are God, and you can talk through an ordinary guy like me. And I'm so thankful for that. That's supernatural. And I praise you for that. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, I wanted to start with some verses here. Today again, we'll start with the power of forgiveness. You see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. That's just to get you to pay attention. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith, is how the verse starts out. To add to your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and love. Wouldn't you love to have these things in your life? Wouldn't you love to be equipped with all these things? Well, the Bible tells us that you can be. You can be equipped with all of these. And God wants you to be. He wants to equip you, and He wants to just to reveal to you these type of things. And I think today this teaching is going to help us with that. The next verse, he goes on to say, 2 Peter 1:8, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive." Wow. So if I have these things, if I possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep me, it will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now this is primarily to believers. If you're a believer, this is true for you. It'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. That's exactly what we don't want to be. You know, you can have knowledge and it's good, but if it doesn't change who you are or what you do, what good is it? I want to see evidence from your life. Show me your life. You know, we can talk about it all day, but show me your life. That's for me. I love that. And he finally, Peter ends up with, "But if anyone does not have them," I'm not saying this, Peter is, "but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." And that's the trap that we fall in. We have forgotten that we have been forgiven from our past sins. Boy, if you want to experience power, that has to be deep-seated. That has to be part of who we are. That has to be essential of our walk of faith. Really, if we look at the world, the divorce rate from the secular world and Christians is about the same. In fact, some studies would say, as Christians, it's higher. So we live in a world where the divorce rate, suicide rate, pornography, adultery, addictions, lifestyles, no difference. Christian, that is sobering. Because oftentimes the conversation is, "Oh, just come to know Jesus and then you'll be, oh, and you'll be good. You won't have to struggle with all the things you've been struggling with." And, you know, that's attractive. It is. And God can help us with those things. Many Christians have low self-esteem. There's confusion, depression, suicidal tendencies. It's the same worries, same problems, same troubles as the rest of the world. And sadly enough, often the same solutions. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some legit medical reasons. And some of you may be on medications today, and you need to be. I understand that. I get that. There's legit medical ways to deal with certain things. But we cannot lose sight. We cannot lose sight of just the spiritual part of that. That God has, the spiritual considerations that God has that can change the way you live. Your foundational faith. We need to consider that God can show you things to release you from maybe things that you've struggled with. Most Christians, someone once said this, most Christians, if put on trial for their faith, would be found innocent for lack of evidence against them. So if you were put on trial for your faith at work today, or whatever, at school or your life, would we find evidence? If I was put on trial, would we find evidence of our lives? Would that God is really doing something, that He really has changed us, that there is a new life? Sadly enough, man, oftentimes that's just not the case. We need to learn the power of forgiveness so that we live different. Not necessarily just look different. Because we can clean ourselves up. I shaved. I mean, we can clean ourselves up or make an attempt to. But, you know, when we drill down into our lives, are we different? I mean, lots of people in Christendom across the world are really busy on getting cleaned up. If I go so far and I look so good, then I'm all right. Oh, there's grace God wants to help us with. I got a little movie clip here from one of my favorites that I watch with my kids, and it's just an imagery again. I just like the way it points things out. Bill Young chose this movie video quite a while ago, and I remember him showing it. And it's just such a good fit. Again, we're just using this as a help. It's just an imagery. But if you remember in The Lion King, Simba had lost his way because his evil Uncle Scar had told him that he was bad. Remember that? Uncle Scar lied to him and said, "You were bad." And because of that, he ran away. He ran away from his bad life and self. So he's living this separate life out there because that's what he's taken on as his identity. He believed in all lies, that he really is bad. So he's running away and living a separate life. And Rafiki, the Holy Spirit monkey, comes in. I got a little open mind here. Comes in. And he reminds him of the Father, of where he's come from. So with that, without further ado, we can dim the lights here and we'll go ahead and watch this little clip. Wow. I think that's just a great little illustration, a little peek into the Trinity there, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Up with for sure exactly what we're talking about here, that God, we need to remember who we are. You and I need to remember who we are as Christians, that we're forgiven. And I think that's just a great imagery as well. Where is the power? Maybe you're going to yourself, the questions you're asking is, where is the power? Why? People ask me all the time, why am I not experiencing it? You know, I see these people over here and their lives and all these things. Well, what about me? Where is the power? Where can I find it? Where can I get it? How can I live differently? And this is what I just want to touch on today. Three truths that will unleash the power of forgiveness in your life. And I think you really have. I'm living proof. And I'll talk about that a little more in a minute here. Let's start with one truth. Everything you do arises out of who you are. Who are you, Christian? It arises out of who you think you are. Who do you think you are? Do you think I'm a believer? It really is connected. It's the essential of what makes you do what you do. Or what you think you are. It starts in our minds. Let's look at a few verses to support that. From Romans 12:2, from the NIV, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be what? Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." What a good verse. Here's another good one from Ephesians 4. Actually, we'll go all the way through verse 24. "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new," "in the attitude of your minds, and to be put on the new self, and to put on the new self created to be like God in righteousness and holiness." Sometimes we miss this. We can talk about it. But have you put on that new self? Have you put it on? You've got to be reminded. We need to be reminded of the truth. It's a quote from Joyce Meyer. "The mind is the leader or forerunner of all actions." What you think you are, who you think you are, the things that you're convinced of, your convictions, that's what causes the things to happen in your life. That's what causes you to live life. Who do you really think you are? Here's a couple guys you might know, and it's really easy to get on the Tom Brady Deflategate thing, but you know, I'm going to resist because it's so great. You could joke all over, but I'm not going to. So Tom Brady and Russell Wilson were in last year's Super Bowl. Remember, we were in here eating treats and stuff. And Tom Brady was the quarterback, and he became the MVP in the Super Bowl. If you went up to Tom Brady and asked him, "Who are you?" he would say, "I'm a quarterback for the New England Patriots." If you went up to Russell Wilson and said, "Who are you?" "Well, I'm a quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. And that's what makes me play football." So when you were watching the Super Bowl, Tom Brady wasn't on the sideline eating Doritos like the rest of us. He was doing what he does. He's a quarterback, so he was playing football. That's what he does. And in his mind, you know, that's what he does. He's a quarterback. And each one of us, we need to understand what our identity is. As Christians, we need to understand, just like Simba was trying to learn, remember who you are, Christian. We need to remember that we're children of God. And God shows us that throughout His Word. Let me show you this. Point B. You can say no. You can't say no to your essential nature. Now, once we determine what our identity is, that's our essential nature, we have a hard time saying no to it. We can't. And throughout our lives, different things happen, and we're affected by whether you're rich or poor or your social status or your race or your position in life. Even if we don't like it, you know, a common saying, which I don't care for, but it's out there because it's true. Abusers abuse, alcoholics drink, and they may view themselves that way, but they don't like it. However you view yourself is what will cause you to do different things in your life. How do you view yourself? And we're told things all of our lives that sometimes are just hard. You know, in Auschwitz, which they had the 70th anniversary, January 27th of this year, when a person was admitted into the prison, that was the first thing they were trying to do is strip them of their identity. And they just tattoo a number on their arm and say, "You are no longer John so-and-so-and-so. You are a number." And they tried to just strip them of who they were. And they wanted them to think that, no, you are worthless. And oftentimes, we get that type of things that in our life, throughout our lives, that maybe haunt you. You know, they attempted to change these people's identity. Have you been labeled as a child? Maybe it still haunts you. I know there's things that do to me. You're no good, or you're not worthy. You can't do that. You never do anything right. You're no good. You're fat. You're ugly. You're worthless. Have you ever heard things like that? You know, me personally, I as a child, there's some things that still make me cringe. I remember once having a huge argument with my father. I had stayed out all night, and he was really mad. And so we had this big argument, and I can remember it vividly. But he kicked me out of the house. I was 13 years old, and he kicked me out of the house. I remember having this screaming match, and I was, man, I was so upset, and I was crying. I was like, "Okay, if you keep me down." And I was whimpering, and I remember he said, "You just keep your whimpering. You go out on your own. Get out of here. Go ahead and leave a little baby. We'll see how long you're going to survive in that, with that attitude." Oh, to this day, I struggle with self-confidence in different situations. And maybe, you know, more people I talk to, it seems like all of us have had this moment or these things in our life that where we, whether we've been belittled or something, it just, we struggle with it. Remember who you are, Christian. That's not our identity. You do not have to live there. Let your identity work for you. If you're a Christian, let your identity work for you. And that is, all your sins have been forgiven. I love this saying that Bill came up with. I don't know if he came up with it, but he stole it from somebody, I'm sure. All means all, and that's all means. Let that stick in your head. All means all, and that's all means. All your sins have been forgiven. Now, how do I know that? Well, let's just back it up with some scripture, shall we? 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." Let's keep going. Romans 6:10. "The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." Why not add some more? Hebrews 7:27. "Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all." He's talking about Jesus. He sacrificed for our sins once for all when he offered himself. It's the completed work on the cross. It is finished. Continue on in Hebrews verses 26 and 27. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. It's the completed work, you see, Christian. That's done. It's to change our identity. We are children of God. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Such good truth. And this is true, even when you don't feel like it. Because oftentimes, I hate the saying, oh, just trust your heart. You know, whatever your heart tells you to do, you go do it. Oh, my goodness. Even when you don't feel like it, trust your heart. And here's some verses that just shoot that down. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? From Proverbs, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Oftentimes we roll on emotions. We're emos. And a circumstantial thing comes in, and all of a sudden I'm not a child of God because the circumstances come and my world's falling apart and oh, the sky is falling. To remember who we are. Remember what Christ did, no matter how bleak and how blinding the situation might be. There's a spiritual element that can help us walk through things. I'm so thankful for that. I, for one, need it. I need my King. This is the third truth. The real you is new in Christ. Your essential being, your identity, has been radically changed. That's what's true. That's what the Bible tells us. The real you has been changed. Now, if you're not a believer, you don't think you've stepped into that yet, this doesn't apply to you. Those of us that know the Lord, has received his forgiveness and have relationship with him, I'm new in Christ. You are born again. And we need to do, I think, look at some verses that just really nail that down. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. That's you, Christian. The old is gone. The new has come. I like to think of the old like an old chair that I like to pick up and throw across the room sometimes. The old is gone. The new is here. It's supernatural. Do I understand it all? No, I don't understand it all. But I have a God that's helping me day in, day out, day in, day out. And I'm so thankful for it. The truth is, we've been born again. You know, for almost 30 years, I worked as an electrician, a construction worker. I'm a blue-collar guy. Okay, that's just who I am, and that's who I'll always be, and I love it. That's a good fit for me. And in that, for 30 years, you know, when I was 16 years old, I got in a lot of trouble, so they decided I should have a job because I was kind of overactive little kid. At 16, I got a job working as electrician's helper, and all the things everybody else didn't want to do, I did. Go crawl in that little hole where all those rats are because we need to get a wire in there. I mean, Iowa, old farmhouses, think about it. Electrician's helper takes on just a whole new meaning. Really should have been like a hazardous pay, but no, it was not. I think my first job was $1.10 an hour, and it was I thought I was making bank. But for all these years, if you would ask me, who am I? I would say, well, I'm an electrician. I work for so-and-so. Right now, we're working on the Coors baseball stadium. I'm an electrician. All these years, that's who I was. I was an electrician. And I did that. I twisted wires. I made a lot of mistakes. Got shocked. Yes, I got shocked a lot of times. People always ask me that. Yes, it hurts. I know. Don't do that. Turn it off. But that was my identity. So I went to work. I was an electrician. That's what I did. I got up early, stayed up late. And I worked hard. And, you know, now I still know how to do some of those things. I'm certainly not near as good as I used to be, for sure. I've lost sight. And, you know, after 30 years, some of the methods do change. So I'm kind of old school. But the thing is, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor now. God's hand changed me. So I don't identify. My identity is not an electrician anymore. I'm a servant of a holy God. And so can I just say there's evidence standing in front of you that God can take you from one place to another. Because I have no business being up here in and of myself. On a stage, come on. Let's go build something. Let's knock something down. But God chose to show me and to teach me himself. How, that's evidence. And I understand. This has been drilled into me. I understand it. God somehow has imprinted this on my life. I'm his son. I'm his child. I was on a prayer walk the other day and it just came over me. I have a father. I do. And he's perfect. He's perfect. In all of his intentions and everything that he does and in everywhere where he steers me, it's done perfectly. The hard things, the easy things, the good things, the confusing things, the clear things. Sometimes he gives me a vision. Sometimes he gives me an order. And man, nothing can turn my head. When I'm convinced, God, that's from you, get out of my way. All right? That's where we're going. I'm so thankful that that's the relationship I have with God. And I know when you're showing me, God. I don't want to say, thus saith the Lord. I am no prophet. I just know my God. And I look for his lead. I still make mistakes all over the place, but I know God, and he is helping me in everything that I do. Here's a good quote from Neil Anderson, which has some great books out. A Christian is not simply a person who gets forgiveness, who gets to go to heaven, who gets the Holy Spirit, who gets a new nature. Mark this. A Christian is a person who has become someone he was not before. And I'm living it. And I hope you are too. I hope God has changed your direction so your identity is in him, so the things you do are for him, not for yourself. That's when you start running hard. That's when life full is full. That's when things, expressions of God manifest themselves through you. Otherwise, just knowledge. I know God. I celebrate Christmas. I've done this. I've done that. Well, is he changed the direction, the course? Are you living it? God does that for us. I'm so thankful. I like this verse from John 3, verses 5 through 7. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And you must be born again. A believer is born again. The old self is gone. The new self is here. Have you grabbed a hold of that? And maybe today, maybe there's some of you have not really understood or comprehended or stepped through that. And you have not been born again. There comes a time in your life when you need to face that. Well, I'm not sure. Well, talk to somebody about it. Talk to me about it. Pursue the Bible. Read the Bible. What does God have to say about you and what he wants, what he has done for you and what he wants for you? The Bible's so clear. It affects our deepest identity when we're born again, and it affects our actions and the different things we do. Your true identity will affect how you live. You are. Let's just look at some things that the Bible says you are. Believer, this is you, this is me. Some things the Bible says that we are. One, child of God. You are a child of God. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Take it in. A saint of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. To become a believer, you're considered a saint of God. These are truths that Christians, it doesn't mean that you're perfect, but God sees you that way. That's how God sees you. Once you come to know Him, then He sees you as His perfect child. Wow. It's hard for us because we've heard so many lies about our identity to consider ourselves that way. At least it is for me. God's righteousness. You are God's righteousness. Christian, again, Christians, I'm talking to you. If you've been born again, don't forget. This is you. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Fourth thing, righteous and holy. Oh my goodness. Holy means perfect. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God's done that for us. He gives us that when you're born again. To be true righteousness and holiness. And the fifth one, God's workmanship. God had intention. He cares about you. There's intention in what He's done in your life and what He's doing in your life and what He wants to do in your life. He has a future for you. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Thank you, God. Get this. We are chosen. Royal priesthood and holy nation. That's our identity. That's who we are, believers. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Oh my goodness, we are different, a people belonging to God. We belong to Him, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Mask, these are such good truths to be reminded of. That's how God sees you. Royalty. It's true. As a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The old is gone, throw it like a chair across the room. The new has come. With this new identity as Christians, that's when we express good works. That's when we love others. That's what drives us because we're a new creation. We don't want to live that life anymore. We want to follow the Lord because He lives inside of us and He directs us and He leads us in the things that He's doing. Kingdom business, the full life expressed through us, manifested through us, oh my goodness, by a holy God. And eighth, and whoops, righteousness by faith. All right, I wasn't sure if I got that in there or not. But there's so many more we could go through, just things that are part of identity, of who you are, of who I am as a believer. And again, if you don't understand that yet, that's not you yet. I would challenge you, you go figure that out. But for the majority of us here, we are believers, and we need to believe that. Because what we get is lies. Don't believe the lies. I wish I'm going to get me one of these little mechanical things. Have you ever seen it? Every day I get it. Every day.
Do you have a liar?
Do you hear stuff? Oh, you're no good. You're this, you're that, or you're a loser, loser, loser. You did this, you did that. I can't believe you did that. I will not listen to that. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Do I have shortcomings? Yes, I do. Do I have shortfalls? Yes, I do, because it's a process. There's a sanctification process going on right now. The devil fights. He tells us, oh, man. He said, before he become a believer, he says, you're pretty good. You don't need Christ. You've done pretty good things. I talk to people about that all the time. I talked to someone at length about that yesterday as I shared the gospel with them. He says, I'm pretty good. I did pretty good. I did these things. And Satan says, you're okay. You don't need Christ. You don't need salvation. And then once we become a believer, then he doesn't want you to live in forgiveness. He just lies and says, you're the same. You don't look any different. You got a divorce too, just like the rest of the world. You this, that, and that. I'm a child of God. You are a child of God. Don't listen to the lies. A couple of bumper stickers we hear. People kind of live in this, and as Christians, you know, and if you're going to put a fish on your car, you know, don't be flipping people off. That's my opinion. Here's one. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, you know, and I understand the heart of some of these, but Bill likes to say, too, it's just, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just this Eeyore. Say by grace. There's another one. Christians aren't perfect. They are just forgiven. Well, yes. Let's just take that out of there, okay? They are forgiven. And if you have these bumper stickers on your car, I'll help you take them off if you like. I understand your heart. I'm royalty. Sinners sin because they think they're sinners. In fact, if people don't know Jesus, my wife reminded me, that's their job, to be sinning. So to unbelievers, that's their role. And God calls us to help them with that. Not judge it. Help them. Come alongside. Try to help them. We should be shouting from the corners, we're forgiven. There's a couple of verses here that I'm going to end with. Remind what we started with. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, Peter writes in 2 Peter. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. You can have that, Christian. You'll walk in those day in, day out. Your fruits of the Spirit just be bubbling over. He ends up, he continues on, 1 Peter 1:9, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Remember who you are. Christ died on the cross quite sufficiently for all sin. He conquered death and rose from the dead, and he lives. He is God. And you're his child if you know him. If you don't know him, pursue that today. Talk to someone. Read the Bible. Know him. What a good foundational truth. We'll just continue this series next week. It's a topical study. And, of course, the Bible is our resource. And I'm excited just to dive into this. I'm just going to close us in a prayer. And then we'll sing a couple more songs to this King of ours. God, I love you. I thank you for the deep truths of the faith. I thank you for forgiveness, God. I pray you just really, really seal the deal, really send this home in our minds, God, that we could really identify with you, that we would know that you are a Father and we are sons of the living God. Father God, would you help us with that? Help us to just to live in the forgiveness that you provided for us. And I just pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.